The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 2nd through Sunday, February 8th, 2026. The commentary for February was written by Betty McWhorter, an Episcopal priest and third-generation reader of Forward Day by Day, who has served seven churches in five dioceses. She and her husband of 55 years retired to McMinnville, Oregon, where they enjoy their three adult children, their spouses, and four grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, February 2nd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 33. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. This Monday, February 2nd, is when we commemorate the presentation of Jesus in the temple. Now here's the commentary. Mary and Joseph have come to fulfill the law and present their firstborn son to God. They are met by a stranger who burst forth in praise, proclaiming incredible things about the tiny baby. Mary and Joseph are amazed. I find this intriguing. Why are they amazed? Have they forgotten the angelic visits? Have they forgotten the visits of the shepherds and those men bringing rich gifts to their son? Perhaps they are amazed in that deer-in-the-headlights way of new parents. Certainly, the last 10 months have been more than they expected. Here they are with a newborn, probably wondering how in the world, in their poverty, they will care for him. Often we get overwhelmed by the day-to-day events of life. Hopefully, Simeon's and Anna's will show up to remind us of God's greatness and promise. Perhaps we can even be Simeon's or Anna's to another. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this Monday from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And the moving forward reminder for this Monday, today thank someone who reminds you of the greatness and powerness, or rather greatness and power of God. Today be a Simeon or Anna for another. The commentary for Tuesday, February 3rd, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, verses 17, 20, and 21. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. Each time we read from this part of Hebrews, I genuinely enjoy the litany of our ancestors. None of them are perfect, yet they share a faith that gets them through the dark times and into the light. Their stories in the Hebrew Scriptures are full of trials and tribulations, falling short and exceeding their own expectations, doubting and believing, being reminded of who walked this earth in faith before me, gives me strength, courage, and hope. These passages also remind me of the ancestors of faith I have known personally. I think of my paternal grandparents and summer spent on the sleeping porch, listening to my grandmother read the King James Bible to my grandfather each night. They read straight through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and then they began again. The grounding they received from Holy Scripture was the foundation of their lives. As I wander through my spiritual ancestors, I ask myself, will those who know me think of me as a person of faith? I pray the answer is yes. And now I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 13 through 22. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you." He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future of Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, which of your ancestors have influenced your faith? The commentary for Wednesday, February 4th, begins with a passage from the book of Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament, chapter 22, verse 8b. So the two of them walked on together. The story of Abraham being asked to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, is one of the most challenging stories in Scripture. How, why does a loving God ask such a thing? Why does God use Abraham's test of obedience as a reason for a great reward? When I put myself in the story, I am amazed at the calmness and trust of both Abraham and Isaac. When God asks Abraham to make the sacrifice, Abraham goes about fulfilling this request. Isaac asks his dad, "Where is the lamb for sacrifice?" Isaac seems content with his dad's answer. They walk on together. Scripture does not reveal what Abraham is thinking. Surely he is questioning God's instruction and trying to figure a way out. I know I would be doing that, and poor Isaac. If I were Isaac, I would be a bit concerned with my dad's actions. There are many interpretations of this story. I have yet to find an answer that satisfies me. So for now, I will focus on the trusting relationship between a father and son. Perhaps this is a window into God and Jesus, and into God and us. And now I'll read from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, how do you respond when God asks of you what seems like an impossible request? Now we turn to the commentary for Thursday, February 5th, the day on which we commemorate Agatha of Sicily. It begins with a passage from John 6, verse 66. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. This verse makes my heart ache. These disciples have been with Jesus and seen his healings, witnessed his compassion, and listened to his teachings. Yet they turn and walk away, back into the lives from which they had come. Why? Putting myself into the stories of Jesus, feeling the power that must have emanated from him, I cannot imagine walking away. Yet I do, time and time again, thinking I can handle life on my own. This passage from John prompts me to think about the people I like to spend time with, people who have charisms of caring, listening, teaching, joy, and gratitude. I know I want to be around them. I want to be like them in all their best qualities. I pray to have the strength and commitment to stay with Jesus, remembering that it is only in walking with him that I can learn to be more like him, a child of God. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 60 to 71. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil.' He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, though one of the 12, was going to betray him." And the moving forward question for this day is, why do you turn away from Jesus, and what helps you return? Now the commentary for Friday, February 6th, the day we commemorate Martyrs of Japan. It begins with a passage from John chapter 7, verse 4b, "If you do these things, show yourself to the world." My husband and I are having lunch at the local diner. Across from us are four cadets from the military academy. They are young, so very young. We tell our waiter that we wish to pay for their meals, but want to remain anonymous. We watch as they ask for their bill. The waiter says, "It has been taken care of." The people say, "Thank you for your service." One young cadet asks, "Who? Who paid? We need to thank them." The waiter replies, "No, sir. They wish to remain anonymous." The cadets glance around the diner. The waiter winks at us as he brings our check. Our hearts are full. I think the hearts of the cadets and the waiter are full also. Jesus' brothers tell Jesus that the things he is doing must be done in public. How human they are, thinking that doing good works includes being known by others. How much more rewarding is it to do good works anonymously, for we are paid in the depths of our beings, knowing that we are doing God's work and not ours. And now I'm going to read the full passage of John, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. "After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He did not wish to go about in Judea because the Jews were looking for an opportunity to kill him. Now the Jewish festival of Booths was near. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one wants to be widely known, acts in secret. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its works are evil. Go to the festival yourselves. I'm not going to this festival, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone to the festival, then he also went, not publicly, but as if it were in secret. The Jews were looking for him at the festival and saying, "Where is he?" And there was considerable complaining about him among the crowds. While some were saying, "He is a good man," others were saying, "No, he is deceiving the crowd." Yet no one would speak openly about him for fear of the Jews. And the moving forward reminder for this Friday is, challenge yourself to do one good thing today without anyone knowing your actions. The commentary for Saturday, February 7th, begins also with a passage from John chapter 7, verse 24. "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Our beautiful baptismal covenant helps us understand what Jesus means by right judgment. The covenant asks, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons? And will you respect the dignity of every human being? We answer, "I will," with God's help. Yet despite these promises, we frequently judge by appearances in our day-to-day lives. I remember interviewing a young man via phone to serve as one of my summer camp counselors. Based on his voice, I had an image of him in my mind. I was speechless when he appeared at camp and was not at all who I had imagined him to be. He graciously smiled and patiently waited for me to recover. I am certain my amazement was not the first he had encountered. Psalm 27, verse 17 says, "What if I had not believed that I should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living?" Perhaps the psalmist's words are another definition of right judgment. And now I'm going to read from John chapter 7, verses 14 through 36. 14 through 36. "About the middle of the festival, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished at it, saying, 'How does this man have such learning when he has never been taught?' Then Jesus answered them, 'My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own. Those who speak on their own seek their own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and there is nothing false in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you looking for an opportunity to kill me?' The crowd answered, 'You have a demon who is trying to kill you.' Jesus answered them, 'I performed one work, and all of you are astonished. Moses gave you circumcision. It is, of course, not from Moses, but from the patriarchs. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath in order that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I healed a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment.' Now some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, 'Is not this the man whom they are trying to kill? And here he is speaking openly, but they are saying nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Messiah? Yet we know where this man is from. But when the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus cried out as he was teaching in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I am from. I have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true, and you do not know him. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." Then they tried to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him because his hour has not yet come. Yet many in the crowd believed in him and were saying, "When the Messiah comes, will he do more signs than this man has done?" And the moving forward reminder for today, be aware today of your first impressions, judgments of those you meet. And as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, February 8th, the fifth Sunday of the Epiphany. It begins with a passage from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 16b. "But we have the mind of Christ." A few decades ago, there was a movement that used the letters WWJD. The letters stood for "What Would Jesus Do?" The message adorned bracelets, necklaces, T-shirts, and bumper stickers. I had none of these things, yet I did buy into the premise of the question and tried to let the answer steer my actions, except when I didn't. There were and are times when my emotions get the best of me, when I am in too much of a hurry to consider my actions before I act, or when I consider the question and don't like the answer. I can find countless ways to blow off the question. Yet it is always there, always presenting itself. In my quest to be more like Christ, the one who continues to find me worthy no matter what, I work to put on the mind of Christ. Before I act, to ask, "What would Jesus do?" and then by his grace, try to follow through. I still have a way to go, but I'm grateful to be on the path. And the moving forward question for this Sunday is, how do you put on the mind of Christ? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.